Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel for this, the second Sunday in Lent. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." This is God's word. Right in the middle of our text today, and in our Old Testament reading, in our intro it as well, we hear about Jerusalem. In fact, the word occurs three times in a row. A prophet should not perish away from Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Right there in the middle. A while back, not too long ago, I saw a commercial that kind of caught my eye. It was a tourism commercial for Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, encouraging people to go there and visit. Showed the beaches in Tel Aviv on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and the nightlife, the clubs, and all the fun you can have. Maybe it's an unfair estimation. While I've always wanted to visit the Holy Land, I don't necessarily think of it as a place that I'm maybe eager to go, be simply because of all the violence. It was in the news this past week about rockets that were launched on Tel Aviv, and then debating where or not those rockets came from. And Jerusalem, well, there's always been violence in Jerusalem. In all of our memories, and all throughout history, really, all the way back into the times of Holy Scripture. The irony of that is that Jerusalem is known as, and in the fact the name Jerusalem means, city of peace. Jerusalem, city of peace. And yet, scholars estimate that at least twice Jerusalem has been completely destroyed. 23 times it has been besieged by an enemy, attacked 52 times, and 44 times captured and recaptured. Peace. Yeah, I don't know. Anyone who follows world news knows of violence in this, the holiest of cities. And we know that people are passionate about Jerusalem. The three major religions of the world, what we call the monotheistic religions, they all have in common that they worship one God. The Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians all claim Jerusalem as a holy city. And so there's been violence in our own lifetimes, in biblical history, and in every time in between. It became a part of Israel by means of capture. David, in the book of 2 Samuel, captured the city of Jerusalem from the Jebusites, and he made that his capital. In fact, we heard a little bit of a reference to it in the account of Jeremiah being attacked in our Old Testament reading. What happened after David captured Jerusalem and made it his capital is he moved the tabernacle, the place of worship for God's people, he moved it from Shiloh down to Jerusalem. And that became the capital of all Israel. And after David died, his son Solomon built the temple right there in Jerusalem on the hill that is called Zion, the center of the city, the center of God's people. It was there in Jerusalem where God dwelt with his people. That was the point of the tabernacle, the point of the temple, that God's glory, his presence, would be there with his people. God with his people in a city of peace. And yet, peace has always been far from Jerusalem, hasn't it? We turn our attention a lot to Jerusalem ourselves. A lot of biblical scholars will tell us to look to Jerusalem and the things that could be happening there and the things that need to happen in the future. Politically, we consider the importance of Jerusalem. Last year, President Trump moved the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and said, "We will acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital of Israel." Well, Jesus focused on Jerusalem as well. In fact, a couple weeks ago, on Transfiguration Sunday, Jesus, it says in our account from Luke 9, was talking with Moses and Elijah about his departure that he must accomplish at Jerusalem. And then a few chapters later, actually a few verses after that, Luke writes that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem when the days drew near for him to be taken up. You see, Jesus knows that his destiny is in Jerusalem. He knows that's where he must go. And so today in our gospel, when the Pharisees would try to drive Jesus away from Jerusalem, he'll have none of it. He knows Jerusalem is where he must go. They say to Jesus, "Get away from here. Herod wants to kill you." We don't know if the Pharisees are being considerate or if they're just like, you know what? Herod doesn't want you here and we don't want you here either. But Jesus says to them that his destiny lies in Jerusalem and nothing can stop him from what he will do. The devil couldn't stop him, as we heard last week when we heard of his temptation. Herod can't stop him. The Pharisees can't stop him. Jesus says in our gospel, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem.'" The beginning of the service, I joked about things that are constant, right? People will find a way to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, I said. UP sports teams will get jobbed by the refs downstate. And prophets get killed in Jerusalem. That's the way it had always been. And that's what Jesus knows will happen to him. He knows if he stays there in Jerusalem, if he goes there as God has set for him to do, it will mean his death. Because if it was that way for the prophets before him, how much more so will it be for the prophet of all prophets, the greatest prophet of all, Christ our Lord? As the prophets before him died in Jerusalem, Jesus knows he will die as well. And he tells the Pharisees that everything he's done has pointed to that. All the signs, all the miracles, all the teachings pointed to what Jesus would accomplish in Jerusalem when he was nailed to a cross for the sins of the world. That cross in Jerusalem was the center of Jesus' ministry, and it's the center of who we are as God's people as well. This season of Lent is our reminder to turn our eyes to Jerusalem. Not to political events and machinations, not to any hope of what Jerusalem might be, but to what Jesus accomplished at a point in history 2,000 years ago when God's own Son died a prophet's death and took all our sins upon his body. We say it in our gradual for Lent, don't we? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. Hebrews chapter 12. We as God's people are called to fix our eyes, to set our eyes on Jerusalem as Jesus did, to look to the cross of Jerusalem where Jesus took the sins of the world, and that means he took your sin and my sin. That means the greatest event in your life happened some 1900 years before you were even born, when God stepped into humanity, went to Jerusalem, and became the Savior from sin. As Jesus fixed his eyes on Jerusalem, as we fix our eyes on Jerusalem. We're mindful that there's a lot that gets in our way and distracts our attention. The people of Jerusalem in Jesus' day, they should have enjoyed God's presence. They had been the place where the temple had been, where God made his gracious dwelling among them. And now, God in human flesh, Jesus Christ, comes and ministers among them. But sin got in the way. Ask yourself today, what's getting in the way from keeping your eyes on the cross of Jerusalem? What's distracting your sight? Lent, after all, is a time of repentance, a time of turning away from sin. What sin are you holding on to? What pride are you unable to let go of? What weakness of yours keeps you from looking at the one who died for you? Jesus goes from this harsh word that he has for Herod. He says, go tell that fox, I'm not leaving, that Jerusalem's where I must go. But then it turns into a lament, a cry, a song of sorrow. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, God loves nothing more. Christ loves nothing more than to gather his people together and hold them close in his love. He wants nothing more than to shower you with his forgiveness, with his love, with his compassion and care. It may be too late for a lot of those in first century Jerusalem, but it's not too late for us. Because that God that was present in Jerusalem's temple, that God who came in the Savior Jesus Christ and walked the streets of Jerusalem, that same Jesus now comes to you and me. The cross in Jerusalem where Jesus poured out its blood, poured out his blood, pours his blood across the pages of history throughout time, and he pours it out for you here and now. Because here, as God's children gathered together in his church, we are gathered as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Our Lord gathers us together to care for us, to love us, to pour out his mercy upon us, to make us a heavenly people. In our epistle this morning from Philippians 3 and 4, Paul talks about our citizenship, which is in heaven. He says, from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how Paul talks here. He doesn't talk about our citizenship that will be in heaven. He says it is in heaven. Right now, you, dear friends in Christ, are, as we speak, citizens of heaven. You don't belong to this place, in other words. As that old hymn says, I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Do you know how heaven is described in the book of Revelation? The very end, St. John has a vision and he sees a new heaven and a new earth. And out of the new heaven, he sees coming down the holy city, the new Jerusalem from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. heaven is described as a new Jerusalem, a city with streets of gold, a city where instead of a temple in its middle, there's a throne on which God himself sits with his Son, the Lamb. And we go before his presence day and night, not separated by sin or death, not separated by veils as they had in the temple, but face to face with the God enthroned in the heavenly Jerusalem. As citizens of heaven, as citizens of the new Jerusalem, Jerusalem is our capital. Not so much the Jerusalem of today, but the Jerusalem that awaits us on the last day. And so, hearing the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, to fix our eyes on his cross as he speaks through the writer to the Hebrews, following his example in Luke 13, where nothing will deter him from going to Jerusalem, let's turn our eyes there as well. To that day when, bearing the sins of the world, he took our guilt away, washed us clean, and promised us that he would gather us all now and forever as a hen gathers her brood. That, in essence, is what Lent is. Turning your eyes to the cross, turning your eyes to Jerusalem, to all that Christ has done for you. To that point in history, a point in time that we can point to when we know that it's for us. Dearest friends in Jesus, let all of us turn our eyes to Jerusalem, to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, from which flow forgiveness, life, and salvation, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.